Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we've got a story. It's entitled An Innocent Man, The Execution of Timothy Evans. Timothy Evans was a man who was convicted of murder. He was convicted of killing his wife and daughter in England in 1950, and he was executed. Turns out that he was completely innocent, that he and his wife had lived above a serial killer named John Christie, and that it was determined later on that Christie was the one who actually committed these murders, and Timothy Evans was executed, and this eventually led to the abolishment of the capital punishment in England, one of the main reasons. So we're going to talk about Timothy Evans, we're going to talk about John Christie, the serial killer, and it's a pretty messed up story. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Pill Poppin' and Penis Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you?
Well, I'm well. I'm quite well.
Well, excellent. I've declared martial law here in the studio.
How's that going for you?
Well, we'll see. It's going good.
Have you shot anyone yet?
Not yet, Timmy, but it's still early.
It is. Yeah.
And I think it's a shame that I've had to declare martial law in my own office.
Why did you do that for?
Because I felt it necessary.
You're a little territorial.
My staff was getting a little too big for their britches, and
they decided to bring them down a notch.
I needed to lower the hammer.
Okay. Well.
So now that you're in my office, it applies to you too.
I don't think it does apply.
It does.
I'm sovereign.
It does. And actually, once I'm outside my office, if I lift my arms like this, anything within my reach is all under martial law. Nice. I declared it.
Well,
I declare bankruptcy.
You are not here yet.
Actually, today is a day I'm bankrupt, Timmy. I forgot my wallet again.
So thank God there was free pizza.
Did he lose his wallet again?
No, he just forgot it.
I just forgot to bring it.
I'm so frustrated. I was telling Brandy, my credit card company, they send me a statement, and it's got like four different numbers on it, how much I owe, like my beginning balance, my ending balance, my balance due. And I call them, I just, motherfucker, just tell me how much I owe you. You know what I mean?
How much do I need to pay to be in good standing with you people?
To be at zero.
Yeah.
Tell me. I'm so frustrated with them. Anyway, let me introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the moral compass of the podcast, the very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, I'm good. It's I know
Except
how to.
You don't have your wallet.
I don't have my wallet, and I know.
Shocking.
I know how this show's going to go today, because we're a little packed on time, and you're a little tense already. The devil's already rushing things through. People are interrupting.
Because I have to go to. I have work.
Well,
I have the Lord's
have
work to
we
do.
We have a lunch hour that we do this on.
I have the Lord's work.
You don't have the Lord's work, though.
I do.
But anyway, let me tell you what I did, Timmy.
You're predicting a train wreck, basically.
I'm predicting a meltdown.
Okay.
And I'm in a bad mood myself because I got you know me, I'm not a materialistic man.
No, not at all.
I got a couple things.
You don't even carry a wallet.
I don't give a fuck. I trade beads for shit. But I have a set of headphones, some Beats that are Beats Buds.
Uh-huh. Are you still bitching
and
about
Bluetooth.
This?
Yeah, they don't work no
oh,
more.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Well, buy a new set.
I did. I got on Amazon.com.
I was going to say, have mommy buy you a new set.
I bought a new set this morning.
Okay. How did you do that without a wallet?
Huh?
How did you do that without a wallet?
I just signed in and clicked on my Amazon account.
Well, I know my credit card number, so that works out.
I don't know my credit card number.
Yeah, that means you're shopping too much. If you
I can't remember
You don't
my
worry
address.
About what I'm doing.
I'm just saying. If you know when
you got a problem, this got pointed out to me because I did it twice to different people. Is my phone is starting to auto-correct to dick often.
Yeah, you need to be careful of that.
I hate when I type fuck and it comes out duck.
Oh, mine I know. Just, up, I'm like,
mine it really ruins the moment.
Mine
you know?
Doesn't. Mine doesn't anymore though. Mine just, you know, do you mean fuck, fucking, fucktard? It gives me the whole list.
If I'm texting someone and saying like, I'm really gonna duck you hard, it loses something, you know.
I'm gonna duck you all over, baby. I'm gonna duck you like you never been ducked before.
I don't want to talk about this. I no longer wish to be here.
All right.
I no longer wish to be a part of this conversation.
No, I just tried to type two times. I tried to type Dr. Jamie Tarantino, that poor girl, because I didn't catch it right away. I said I might have a picture of a dick that you can draw.
Jamie, of course.
Sure, she appreciated
Jamie,
it.
Jamie, of course, you commissioned her to do some artwork.
And there's a picture that Renee loves, and it's of a doc going out onto a lake when we are on vacation.
And it came out as dick in your text.
It's dick. Because I use swipe because I got that arthritis in my thumbs.
Your arthritis?
And
is it aggravated by your diabetes?
And your rheumatism.
My rheumatism. So, and then my first thing yesterday, my dogs, I'm getting ready to leave. You know how it was colder than hell.
Yes.
And my dog's all I go to pet him. He stretches out on the couch like, oh, go out. Go ahead and go out in the cold, bitch. I'm going to sit here, you know. And I just walked to the car. I text my niece and I said, you know what? My dick hates me.
Which is probably not far from the truth.
And I said, it's taunting me. And she just typed back to me. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
It'd be fun to do with that. It'd be fun to do is get someone's phone and program it so it.
Oh yeah.
So that put in curse words when they. All right. Anyway.
So apparently, dick's my go-to on my gotcha. When I text people.
Shocking.
We would like to give a shout out to all of those who support us on Patreon. They make this podcast possible. So a special shout out to those who are very generous and. Give their money, hard-earned money, to keep us on the air. A big special thank you to Alicia and Chip, Jim Moyer, Jason Dykes, Phyllis Munson, Brandy McBride, TJ Young, Diane Student with the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Andrew Happ, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Joe Hopkins, Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens and her mother Linda, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, and of course Rudy the Wonder Dog. They all support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon.
Did you say TJ?
Yeah,
TJ. Okay.
Mm-hmm. TJ Young. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
I just owe you a tiny little bit, Timmy.
Everything is greatly appreciated. All right. So we're going to talk... Let's jump into the story of an innocent man, the execution of...
Well, I think you already told the story, Timmy.
Yeah, that was just a preview.
You
know,
it was a teaser.
This is how you do it. I have quite a bit of experience doing this. And what you do...
And you don't need shit from a dickhole like you.
Well, I didn't want to say that, put it that way, but...
I'm just saying...
Go duck yourself is basically what I'm saying.
It seems
like you already told the story. We're just filling in the details.
No, here's what... Exactly. This is what you... Whenever you give a present, I'll give you a little... Little,
so you put
you're getting ready to be schooled. That's what's happening.
I want to school
you. You put that canvas out there, and now you're going to fill it in for
exactly
us. Okay.
What you do is anytime you're given a presentation, you tell the audience what you're going to tell them, you tell them it, and then you tell them what you told them. Okay? Say what you're going to say, say it, and then tell them what you told them.
And then mic drop the fuck out.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what he said.
Go duck yourself. Go duck yourself. Randy understood.
I got it.
She can comprehend complex.
I'm fluent in Appalachian.
All right. Okay. An innocent man.
That means shut the fuck up, Chuck.
An innocent man. The execution of Timothy Evans.
I feel like this is political. I feel like this is kind of a political thing.
I think we're drawing the line here, Timmy. We'll cross
Timothy,
the line.
Timothy Evans, he has the same first name as I do.
Well, I'll be goddamned. He sure does. Yes. I don't know how that's significant.
Well.
I thought your name was Tim.
Well, that's just short for Timothy. There have undoubtedly been many miscarriages of justice in the English legal system over the years.
Oh, and the American. I can speak for myself.
But one of them is quite, none of them quite as tragic and haunting as the conviction of a Welsh gentleman by the name of Timothy Evans.
May I say this sounds like it's an egregious.
It is.
Why am I getting stink eye?
And his subsequent execution in March 1950 for a crime, Brandy, he did not commit.
Well, I'm sure he did something.
No.
I'm sure it was deserved.
No.
Karma.
The crimes.
Karma is a bitch.
The crimes for which Timothy Evans was executed were in fact committed by his neighbor, a serial killer named John Christie. Why is that funny? This dude was hanged.
The first rule of keeping yourself out of jail is don't live next door to a serial killer.
That is clutch. Mm-hmm. That's clutch.
Born in England in 1898, John Christie is a serial killer, served a number of prison sentences for theft and assault before becoming a serial killer.
I'll tell you what, if I ever move next to somebody and they don't talk to me or come over or do whatever, yeah, and I have to say he was a quiet guy, mm-hmm, kind of kept to himself, mowed his grass, we have to move.
See, but this guy didn't. This guy interacted a lot with him, and they became kind of friends. And then he.
Well, then Timothy Evans is a dumb sack of shit.
Well, Timothy Evans had some learning disabilities.
So. Well.
Be kind. Why are you laughing? This poor guy was hanged innocently.
Why are you so attached to him?
Because it's egregious injustice.
It's egregious. It's an egregious miscarriage of justice. And if there's anything we stand for on this show, Devil, it is justice. Truth, justice, in the American way.
Yeah.
John Christie. John Reginald Halliday Christie.
Four names.
Oh. Yes.
Well, they're stupid names, but...
Was born in Yorkshire, England. Colonel, you've been to Yorkshire, I'm sure.
I had some Yorkshire pudding once.
In 1898. Brandy, that's just close. 2 years before the turn of the century.
I don't know. Why are you talking slow for me?
Would have been the 20th century.
Yeah. Yes. Why are you talking slow for me?
I'm just saying.
Be careful.
Christie was number six in a family of seven, so that's next to the youngest. He had a troubled relationship with his father.
Mother.
I think he's challenging your martial law.
His father was a carpet designer.
He should not.
His father was a carpet designer.
How the fuck do you design carpet?
I don't know.
I mean, it's
Berber or it's not.
I mean, it's green or it's blue.
His father's name was Ernest John Christie. He was an angry...
Because he designed carpet. I mean, how...
An angry and uncommunicative man.
Fucker.
So I guess he just sat with his arms crossed? I don't know.
How did they know he was pissy. Angry and not just tired?
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe. He wasn't saying none to nobody.
He displayed little emotions toward his children and would punish them for just trivial offenses.
Well, you do that just for fun.
Well, hell, he'd have a field day with you. During his later life, Christie's childhood peers described him as a queer lad.
It's a little hurtful.
Yeah. Well, who kept to himself.
Yeah.
And was not very popular.
There you go. Yeah. Well, because he had an angry, pissy dad.
Yeah. Who designed carpet.
Right.
I didn't even know they had carpet.
He's got to make sure it matches the drapes.
I guess. He grew up in a household largely dominated by his disciplinarian father and overprotective mother and sisters.
Well, if you're going to have a mean daddy, it's good to have an overprotective mommy.
Well, I don't know, because Christy grew up to be sexually dysfunctional. a controlled, obsessed hypochondriac.
Wait a minute.
With an inherent dislike for women.
Who does that sound like?
I love women.
Timmy loves women, but you got the rest of it.
Yeah, the rest of it's kind of down for you.
What did Meatloaf say? Two out of three ain't bad, Timmy?
Nothing wrong with me in the sexual department.
The controlled hypochondriac.
And let's establish that both of you look at WebMD far too much.
I don't know, because if I get on WebMD, I know that I'm dying within. I start crying every time the page loads.
Dude, I mean,
no, that's your porn.
I made a mistake of going back and watching Brian's song, and all of a sudden you had it.
It'll make you cry like a 4-year-old girl.
No, he was upset because he had cancer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you coughed once during the show.
Yeah. All right. So Christy's life was kind of. Dominated by his sexual dysfunction.
Well, yeah, that will happen, I suppose.
He had a lifelong problem with impotence.
Oh, he was not impotent.
He needed you around, Colonel. He was the face of erectile dysfunction before you were.
So he was out there hitting them with floppies before hitting them with floppies was cool.
Yeah. His first attempts at sex were all failures.
Well, yeah, if he's impotent.
Actually, so am
I. Word got around.
And I had a pretty good Woody when I was doing it.
But the word got out.
Yeah. Word got out on John Christie, too, and kids started calling him. Remember, his middle name was Reginald? Kids started calling him Reggie No Dick.
Yeah.
Can't do it, Christie.
There you go.
Freddie Floppy.
I mean, if you had to choose between the two, which one do you choose?
I don't know, but they both are legit.
Well, I mean, he had a dick. He just didn't work. So
you might as well not have had a dick. Hmm.
Christy later would state, this is so bad, later would state that his first erection would come at the age of 8 at his grandmother's funeral.
Yes. Yes.
Is that weird?
apparently he became despite getting excited at the sight of his dead maternal grandmother, erections would not come naturally to Christy for most of his life. So this guy didn't get wood until he saw his grandmother in a coffin laid out.
It took a stiff to get him stiff.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Well, she may have been attractive. We don't know.
I wonder if he felt her up a little bit. Oh, Grandma. Go up, throw himself on the casket, but he's squeezing those dead boobies.
Grandma.
There's something wrong with you if the sight of your dead grandmother gives you a wood.
There's something wrong if you're talking about climbing in the casket and squeezing all
the
dead boobies.
Oh, he didn't do that. Chuck made it.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. There's something wrong with you if
we
you
don't
put
know
that
that
out into the world.
That.
Well, that's true. We don't.
After he died, however, a postmortem report confirmed that Christie's genitals were physically normal. So,
Timmy's holding that little piece of information back. He'll spring it out on us later.
Just give it to you. His difficulties with sex remained throughout his life, and most of the time he could only perform with prostitutes. Well,
and popsicle sticks attached to his dick.
Duct tape.
Rubber banded.
At the age of 11, he won a scholarship to the Halifax Secondary School, where his favorite subject was mathematics. This guy had
IQ. He's a nerd.
He had IQ of 132.
That's not that bad. That's not that good.
No, but, I mean, it's above average.
It's above
his
average. But
penis is not above average.
He ain't hitting 140.
God doesn't give with both hands.
Yeah. He probably would have took, you know, an IQ of 100 if he could get wood.
I'll take an IQ 85 if I can get a good hard on.
Be a fucking moron walking around as long as I can.
I'll be a drooling dumbass some bitch with a big old
imbecile.
Big old,
Would.
With a raging heart on.
Exactly.
Which actually, that's me pretty much most of the time anyway. So.
Drooling idiot with a raging heart on.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So
Lord has blessed me.
Once you lose your capacity to get an erection, you're just a moron.
I'm just a moron. I'm just a drooling idiot.
And that's when his casket goes in the back of a pickup truck. Yeah.
John Christie left school at 15 during the First World War and served in the Army as a single man. Single man.
At 15?
Yeah. They were desperate, you know, World War I. Some meat grinder. He was involved in a mustard gas attack that he claimed blinded him temporarily and caused hysterical muteness that lasted over 3 years. Although some believe that the loss of speech was simply a means of gaining attention. Brandy, won't you try that?
Hysterical muteness?
Yes.
No.
What the fuck? What's hysterical muteness?
Actually, I think you ought to try that.
I wish we could have had that on video.
But that's what it would be if it's hysterical, right? Or you? I mean,
well, maybe I just sit around and laugh all the time, but I don't speak words.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know what that all was that you just said.
I thought he was starting to have a seizure.
I was being hysterical, but mute at the same time.
I thought it was a zombie sitting next to me. He'd been possessed by the ghost of
God.
His earlier sexual dysfunction and control issues precluded any normal sexual relations. And he started frequenting prostitutes at the age of 19. This sexual muteness did not, however, prevent his marriage.
There's a lot of muteness in his life.
In 1920, he married the lovely Ethel Simpson Waddington.
You know, I don't believe there ever been a lovely Ethel.
No, if you have a kid named and it's your baby born, it's ugly, Ethel.
If you have a girl named Ethel, because none of the boys going to be chasing her around.
Despite their marriage, Christie's sexual difficulties remained, and he continued to visit prostitutes on a regular basis, even on his wedding day.
There you go. Well, he's a keeper.
Is that?
He needs to celebrate somehow.
Is that bad?
It is. Okay. It's not great.
Christie.
I apologize.
Christie became a postman. He always rings twice.
Yes.
And he was sent to prison for 3 months for stealing postal orders. And 2 years later, he was put on probation for violent behavior. So he was going postal before going postal
was cool. The thing. I was postal.
And I have a theory on going postal because, you know, I think a lot of it is post-traumatic stress because post offices hire a lot of veterans.
No, they put – if you know any postmen, they put just unbelievable pressure on these guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, stress.
Now they got them damn near – I think right now you got a rectal GPS that you got to deliver mail with.
And you know what, though? It's really amazing. They do amazing work. You can say you can send a letter for 40 cents anywhere in the country.
That is amazing. You know what else is amazing, though? Think about it. Now, me and you, we try to get our 10,000 steps every day. My mailman fat as hell.
He ain't doing nothing of those.
Walking around. Yeah, he's fatter than foot.
Eating a donut.
Yeah, I don't know. He walk all day. I don't know what the hell he's eating.
It is a pretty efficient system, really, except when they put a package that's too fucking big into your mailbox. But to all of our listeners out there working for the post office, they do a lot of hard work.
They just put a lot of pressure on you, yeah, and people snap.
Yeah. I know UPS.
It's like being here, really.
Really?
I mean, like all jobs.
It's like working with Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, you guys can blow me.
So around this time, he finally left Ethel and moved to London.
Poor Ethel.
Leaving her to support herself in Sheffield. That's a city in England, Brandy. By the age of 29, he was back in prison on theft charges, and he spent 9 months incarcerated before moving in with a prostitute.
There you go.
And then 6 months later, he went back to prison for assaulting said prostitute. Well, that's not funny.
It was a happy relationship.
Yeah, the guy's got a screw loose.
Here's what I wonder, though. Okay, he could get Wood okay when she was a prostitute, but when she became his girlfriend, did he go limp again?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Or did he have to pay her every night just to make sure it got hard?
I don't know. He also was suspected of assaulting other women, which is not cool, but no other charges were brought. A further spell in prison for car theft after he asked his estranged wife, Ethel, to come and live with him in England. So he took a car out of a lot for a test drive, and he never brought it back.
That's not really stealing.
Well, they frowned upon that sort of thing. So him and his wife, Ethel, reunite in London in 1933.
Reunited
and
it
no,
feels
no,
so
do
good.
Not sing.
Okay.
The visits to prostitute to relieve his violent sexual urges continue, which by now also included elements of necrophilia. Yes. And these urges intensified over the next decade.
I believe it started with some necrophilia.
No, he would have prostitutes pretend they were dead. He would have them get in a cold bathtub and mm-hmm. put cold water and then lay still while he fondled him and stuff.
I want to see, I guess he hadn't been married to Ethel long enough because he was only about 5 years from that.
Anyway,
because you know you've been married. Come on, devil, you're with me here. You've been married for a long time. Sometimes it borders on necrophilia.
Mm-mm. I don't know what you're doing.
You know exactly what I'm doing.
No, nope.
You're sitting there just thinking about the stuff you got to do the next day and barely breathing, and well,
just mumbling, "Duck me harder, duck me harder."
Well, duck me. Give me that big duck.
Christy and Ethel moved at 10 Wellington Place in 1938. It's a neighborhood, Notting Hill neighborhood of London, which apparently was a kind of a rundown area. They moved in this place in 1938. They lived in it for a long period of time, and that's where they meet Timothy at. The couple would live at this address for a long time. 9 years later, after they moved in 1938, so in 1947, they meet a new neighbor named Timothy Evans and his wife. But before that happens, Christie kills his first victim in 1943. Her name was Ruth Forst. She was a 21-year-old Austrian girl who was having an affair with Christie when he impulsively strangled her during sex. And then he buried her in the communal gardens there at Wilmington Place. It was like an apartment complex.
Now, that's just not cool, Mr. Christie.
No.
An occasional slap on the bottom.
Well, but apparently he went, you know, he over got really
There's
into
no
it.
There's no safe word.
No, he kind of blew it.
Well, it's hard to say a safe word when somebody's choking you to death.
Yeah. So he kills Ruth, and that's his first kill in 1943 that we know of. Excited by the ultimate thrill of the power that the murder gave him, he took great care in planning his next attack on a 32-year-old neighbor named Morel Eady. On November 8th, 1944, so less than a year after he killed Ruth, he invited Eady over to his place, claiming to be able to cure a reoccurring chest ailment that she had with a special inhaler.
Right.
My chloroform inhaler.
Exactly.
Which actually contained carbon monoxide. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Cleared out those sinuses, though. Once she was rendered unconscious, he strangled her while raping her. And then she died during the process. She, too, joined Ruth Forrest in the garden. So he buried her in the garden as well. In 1948, a young Welshman named Timothy Evans and his wife, Burl, moved.
Burl?
B-E-R-Y-L. How would you say that?
Burl.
Burl, okay.
You said it right. It's just.
Yeah,
it's an odd name. Yeah. Well, you said it right, saying, which is what threw us off.
Yeah. Okay. Like saying his wife, Otto. I mean,
they moved into the same apartment, you know, the Remington Place, Wellington Place, and. They were a young married couple, and Burl gave birth to a baby girl, soon gave birth to a baby girl named Geraldine. Timothy became good friends with his new neighbor, John Christie. Christie was older and more experienced than Timothy Evans, so Timothy would often seek his neighbor's advice on marriage and family matters.
Well, he probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Especially, well, he probably didn't know he was a serial killer.
Well, you've got to research some shit. So, Timothy Evans was born in Wales on November 20th, 1924. That's right before Christmas.
November 20th, right before Thanksgiving, although I don't think they celebrate Thanksgiving in Wales.
They should. They ain't got nothing to be thankful for over there.
It was Coal not, mines. It was not an easy childhood. Shortly before Timothy was born, his father ran off and left the family to cope by themselves. His father, or his mother, remarried in 1929, and the family soon consisted of Timothy, his elder sister Eileen, and a younger half-sister called Maureen.
Okay, a lot of it.
Eileen and Maureen.
Yeah.
The young boy was slow in nearly all of his developmental milestones. And
Timothy was real slow.
And the victim of a tubercular sore on his right foot.
Mm.
Nothing that never...
That's painful.
It was something that never totally healed.
He had a consumption sore.
He was often away from school for long periods of time. As a consequence, when he left school, Timothy Evans was virtually illiterate and could barely read and write his own name.
So he's pretty much like Chuck.
Right. And, well, and look where Chuck's at.
He doesn't... your foot's okay, right?
My foot healed up good.
All right.
And I ain't got the skin cancer. I'm doing good.
The family moved to London and Evans...
How's your bloody stool, by the way?
I never had the bloody stool. It was my father that had the bloody stool. And you're goddamn insensitive, Timmy, for just bringing it up.
No, I'm concerned about... You know, a lot of our listeners are concerned about your stool.
And my stool is fine.
None of our listeners are.
No, I mean, there's questions come up about you and bloody stool all the time on the page.
They don't.
On our Facebook page.
I don't think they do.
I don't think that's what happens.
I don't think they do.
No, but let me tell you what the son of a bitch
does. Do you check the toilet tissue after?
No, I don't. I don't. I
motherfucker just picks up random people's pizza and throws it away. Because cocksucker all of a sudden decides he wants to be a custodian. I leave the table and leave a piece of pizza there. I come back
for
and
a
it's
half an
fucking
hour.
Gone.
You were gone for a half hour.
So did you not think, hey, maybe I should take this to Brandy because she's got caught up doing something
this
else?
This is during lunch?
No, you don't think about that. You just throw shit away and then wants to dig it out of the trash for me.
It didn't touch anything. Timmy, it was a new trash can.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
It had a plastic bag in it.
Shit.
I would ate it.
All right, so the family moves to London, and Evans begins work as a painter and decorator for a little while. He tried moving back to his hometown, to Wales, in 1937, working in the coal mines around the town, but found the job too difficult because of his foot.
It must be depressing in Wales. That's where that bridge den was. Remember the story we did about all the suicides?
Isn't that where Nicola Reeve from, Wales?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I thought she's from Scotland.
I did too.
I thought Scotland and Wales was the same place.
Continue, Randy.
I mean, I thought they were like part of the same.
Hey, Rand McNally, I'm going to go ahead and get done with this.
Okay, you tell me where Wales is.
It's over in England somewhere.
Yeah. It's part of
the United Kingdom.
Yes.
It's not over in England.
It's fucking part of.
London's over in England.
It's like, what, southwest, right?
Fuck, I don't even know where England is.
It's southwest Great
exactly.
Britain, I think.
Rand McNally, Semya.
But it's different than Scotland.
It's across the ocean. Yeah, because Scottish people, whatever.
There's lots of water.
I mean, we did that Bridgeton. Bridgeton was where was in Wales, and that's where they had all their suicides. And it just looked like...
Yeah, it's depressing over there.
All right. So by 19...
Motherfucker, I don't even know where it is, but it's depressing.
Son of a bitch.
They never get no sunlight over there.
By 1946, he was again living in London in the Notting Hill area, which is a great movie. And on September 20th, 1947, he married Beryl Thorley. Within months, she was pregnant, and Geraldine Evans was born on October 10th, 1948. Timothy Evans had an IQ of 70, 10 points higher than Chuck.
But he could get a wood. He could get
Yes, he could get some wood. And was an impressionable man, although he also possessed a violent temper.
So obviously John Christie is much brighter than our friend Timothy.
Yes.
Except Timothy can get a hard-on.
Right.
So, Colonel, which one would you rather be?
I'd rather be the drooling idiot with the wood, Tim.
His learning difficulties made it hard for him to hold a steady job, and when a year later Beryl found herself pregnant again, she feared they'd not be able to support another child.
Well, see, now there's the disadvantage of being able to get wood.
Yeah, you get people pregnant, and you're too damn stupid to take care of them.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You ain't got to
worry
about it.
That's a global problem.
You're walking around slapping a floppy.
But he's not slapping a floppy.
No, he's got the wood.
Just think if you had IQ of 140, what a raging heart on.
That's amazing.
The world will be your oyster.
Your oyster.
Yeah.
Let's see. So.
World would be your vagina.
So, Timothy. So, Timothy goes to Christy and tells him that, you know, they got this problem. And Christy claims that he has some knowledge of abortion.
Oh.
That was illegal in the UK at the time and offered to assist the couple.
Yeah. He's pretty
a
good
giver.
He's pretty good at aborting.
Yeah. Well,
he can abort people who are alive.
Yeah, which he did. Burl became Christie's third victim, incapacitated, strangled, and violated as per his modus operandi.
That means the way they normally do things, devil. That's a police term for the way they normally do things.
You know, you really should be speaking at CrimeCon.
I should
with
be.
With your grasp of
CSI type stuff.
Yeah.
Modus operandi. It's Latin.
Modus means mo.
Yeah.
Operandi is how you operate. So.
Yeah. Operate.
Yeah.
Mo operating. Yeah. It means mo operating. So go ahead. Continue, devil. Just helping you out there.
You're fucking ignorant as hell. I can't even take it. All right. So she dies on November 8th, 1948.
This is Timothy's wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Burl.
Burl.
As a result of Christie's intervention.
Christy, well, that didn't go well, did it?
No. They fucked that up.
That's not the kind of intervention I want to have.
Christie persuaded Evans that her death had resulted from septic poisoning from the various other abortion remedies that she had tried up until that point and convinced him not to go to the police. Instead, he was dispatched alone to stay with his mother's sister in Wales, with Christie claiming that he had found a young couple willing to look after baby Geraldine.
Yeah, see, if a guy kills my wife, I'm probably not going to leave my kid with him.
Well, but he's not smart enough to know that he killed his wife.
He could get wood.
Yeah. So Geraldine, the baby, was never seen alive again.
I may be dumb as fuck, but I got a hard on, baby.
Evan's mother was puzzled by the mysterious disappearance of Burl and the baby. She confronted Timothy Evans, and on November 30th, unable to maintain the charade any longer, he went to the police in his hometown of Wales. Wishing to protect Christy, he confessed to accidentally killing Burl himself, what a dumbass, by giving her abortion pills and then disposing of her body in a sewer drain.
Yeah.
Police in Notting Hill duly investigated and found nothing, and Evans was questioned more intensely a second time, at which time he changed his story and implicated Christy in Burl's death. A thorough search of Rillington Place on December 2nd, 1949, revealed the bodies of Burl and baby Geraldine hidden in the wash house in the back garden.
Yeah. Apparently, this place had a communal wash house. And when police went there the first time to search for bodies, it wasn't there. But the second time they went, they found the bodies. But apparently, that wasn't worthy enough to be entered into as evidence
enter bodies into
when you're ready to pop the question. The last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Evidence is crazy.
Geraldine. A body of evidence.
All right. Well, thank you. Geraldine. You have nothing to add.
Yeah, I do. He was apparently he was roughed up a lot during interrogation.
Okay.
Timothy Evans.
Is that in the script?
I don't know.
Or are you just holding that little piece of information?
Well, you know, I'm a wealth of information, Brandon.
Yeah, well, you're also a dick that holds information back.
Well,
So further questioning caused Evans to change his story a bunch of times, which included a confession to having strangled Burl over mounting debts. But this may have been due to the limitations of his mental abilities and the strenuous police interrogation. Christie was also questioned but managed to convince police that he wasn't involved.
Yeah, and he also was implicating Timothy Evans.
Right. So with careful coaching from Christie, his wife corroborated his version of the events. Evans went to trial on January 11, 1950, and his ineffective defense team failed to follow up on a number of inconsistencies in the testimony offered by Christie and his wife. Indeed, John Christie was a key witness for the prosecution, and his positive impression on the jury was instrumental in Evans being found guilty. Evans continued to maintain his innocence and attempted one appeal, but was hanged on March 9, 1950. And he was hanged by Britain's most famous executioner, Albert Pierpoint. Meanwhile, following the trial, John Christie's hypochondria grew steadily worse, and he became depressed and lost a considerable amount of weight. He lost his job at the post office and found it difficult to maintain a job over the next few years. Around December 12, 1952, Ethel Christie disappeared mysteriously. Imagine that. And Christie told neighbors that she'd gone back to Sheffield, while relatives were told she had become too ill to communicate with them, although he continued to send gifts marked as coming from both of them. He had, in fact, strangled Ethel and placed her body under the floorboards in the parlor.
It's just dead body.
That's what she fucking gets.
Well, yeah.
For being a big fat liar.
She collaborated.
Christie also began treating the house with strong disinfectants.
Well, as you should.
As you should.
If you've got bodies
when
under
neighbors,
the
yes, when neighbors floorboard. Remarked on the increasingly bad odors that were coming from Christie's house.
They just said they had some cats.
Right, well, yeah. Christie's next victim was 25-year-old Rita Nelson, a pregnant prostitute who was persuaded by Christie that he could assist her with a termination. He is just playing that card for all he's worth.
Yeah.
She suffered the same fate as Burl Evans on January 19th, 1953.
Take some of this carbon monoxide.
Right.
Take care of your problem.
How do you get carbon monoxide in an inhaler?
I don't know.
Her body was placed in an alcove that existed behind a cupboard in the kitchen.
Yeah, motherfucker's got an IQ 132, girl. You don't.
Well. Let's see. She
but he can't get wood.
Can't get wood.
26-year-old Kathleen Maloney, another prostitute, was gassed, strangled, and raped in February 1953.
No Dick Reggie, they call it.
She joined Nelson in the alcove behind the cupboard.
Freddie Floppy.
Christie's final victim, 26-year-old Hectorina McLennan, was similarly gassed.
Name's hot.
Strangled and raped, and then stashed in the alcove. So now he's got three bodies behind the cupboard, Hectorino. A body under the parlor floor, and then various and assorted ones in his garden.
And he's responsible for Timothy Evans. He's responsible for anyone.
Right.
You know what you're gonna. You know what you're gonna end up with.
What?
Limp Dick Lanny.
Yeah. Would you still marry Lanny if he? Couldn't
Would you marry
one?
Lanny if he couldn't pull one up?
First of all, I am never gonna marry anybody named Lanny.
When Dave leaves you.
Because he's going to leave you.
Oh, he is not.
He's going to leave you.
But if he did, and would you marry a guy named Lanny at Pet
no.
Boys with greasy red hair and
no.
acne?
I don't know why.
Would you be more inclined to marry a man or a woman?
He works part-time at Pet Boys.
I am most inclined to not marry anybody again.
Just but if you had to make a choice.
Get a cat.
I don't, though.
Get a cat and a tiny house.
I'm not going to get a cat or a tiny house. Look, we already have this worked out. We're going to make ourselves a little commune.
Who's we?
Not with tiny houses.
Your lesbian shipping container.
Fuck no. With like shipping container houses. You fuckers cannot come visit us unless
I'll come visit.
Fixed.
Yeah.
No. No visiting.
That is.
Well.
That's rude.
And then you know what? We
it's
will probably
neighborly.
Just live happily.
Who is we? Who are you moving with?
Anybody that I invite to live on Bitches Row. That's who's going to be there.
Well, that don't seem like...
No, you don't want Chuck and I there?
No! No! You two are expressly forbidden from coming there.
Well, why?
I already have tenants.
You're kind of
Nobody being, married can be there. I already have tenants.
I just got to say, you're kind of being a dick about
no,
this.
You cannot be there. You cannot be there. When Chuck dies, Renee can come. My girlfriend Tracy will be there. Probably our boss's wife Nancy will be there.
All who?
What
have.
If I identify as a
softball playing lesbian?
No, you could identify yourself as, you know, Big Dick Richie, and you still would not be
actually
in the commune.
Well, okay, but what if I identify as Batman, and they put up the bat signal in the commune?
No.
That's going to be
first
crime.
Of all, you cannot.
You know what? First
Batman.
Of all, the Joker is going to be tearing up your commune, and then you're going to be looking for me.
And then
help,
Riddler.
And I'm not
that's
do
what
it.
I mean. Thinking, yeah. You're not even considering
the Riddler.
Yeah.
Not even considering the Riddler.
Riddle me this: what happens when the Riddler comes in, starts tearing up your compound, and you're putting up the bat signal or the hawk signal? And then what you going to do?
Yeah,
I ain't
that's
gonna
never
going to
happen.
What are you going to do then?
Not do that.
Hmm.
Why don't you get on with your part?
Sounds like you didn't plan ahead.
Just go move.
It's planned.
Just go live in your tiny house.
Yeah, little tiny houses.
Fuck tiny houses.
What's that John Mellencamp song? Little tiny houses for you and me.
Colonel, what happens next for our good friend John Christie?
Here's where it takes a weird turn, Timmy.
All right. Tell us.
Christie then papers over the cupboard that concealed the alcove.
Okay.
But he could do very little about the increasingly bad odor coming from the three decomposing bodies.
Well, it is hard.
Well, it's like having 10 cats in the house when you got a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he finally moved out of Rillington Place. He just said, fuck it, I'm moving. Defrauding the family who took up residency. He took 3 months' rent money from them when he was not authorized by the landlord, and they were forced to move out within 24 hours.
A prick. What? He tried to get the front rent. He was going to get the back rent.
It sounded like a good businessman. So
yeah, but you know, it's a good businessman until you remember you got bodies buried in there.
Yeah, it's probably
the one thing you can't do if you're a serial killer with dead bodies in your house is get evicted.
That's
a deal breaker.
You want to keep control of the place.
That is a faux pas.
Now with the flat now empty, Timmy, another tenant was permitted by the landlord.
Why they call them flats?
I don't know. They call weird stuff. Allie, I was looking on a page. Her daughter had a jumper on. Allie kept calling it a tunic. I said, that's not a tunic. It's a jumper. And she said, no, this is a jumper. And put up a picture of a woman in jeans and a sweater.
Mm.
And, you know, you can't argue with Allie. She ain't got deranged.
She'll hit you.
No, she's deranged. She's insane. That's why I said, I'm arguing with an insane woman. I'm not going to continue this.
We love you, Allie.
But she is insane.
Yes.
So anyway, the flat's now empty and stinky.
It's too bad Trump's going to ban her from coming to CrimeCon.
You think he's going to turn on the Australians? Because
he should. Just Allie.
Oh, okay. Well, he should. I mean, if you want to protect this country, keep that lunatic out of this damn country.
Yeah.
Why are we letting her in here? Just walking around. You know the first thing she's going to do, buy a big-ass knife.
Mm-hmm.
So like Crocodile Dundee did when he came over here. So now the flat's Allie Dundee, yeah. Crocodile Alley.
Yes.
Now the flat's empty and stinky, like they got 38 cats in there.
He's amscrayed with the whole apartment rent.
Yeah, but another person was permitted by the landlord to use the kitchen. And when he was renovating the space, he discovered the concealed cupboard and the bodies and... Well, he immediately notified the police.
Now, Colonel, when you move into an apartment, and before you sign that lease, you want to make sure you point out the dead bodies are already there.
You want to see, when we bought a house, I had a no-body clause in it. It's like, I'm only responsible for bodies that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that should be part of, they should disclose that.
Yeah, the bodies that I put here from this date forward, anybody's. Beforehand,
right? You're not responsible.
Aforementioned bodies,
yeah.
I have no.
Yeah, but now after that, bodies you put bringing yourself.
I will take responsibility. I'll take ownership of that.
Right.
But now, given the previous murders that had been committed there, a thorough search was initiated, which revealed not only the three kitchen cupboard corpses, but also Ethel's under the parlor floorboards and two further bodies in the garden, Timmy.
Man.
You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a body around that place. Now, the kitchen cupboard was naturally maintained at a temperature of 5 degrees Fahrenheit. I wonder how they did that.
I don't know, but it's a good thing they did. It keeps the bodies from stinking.
Essentially turning it into a refrigerator, and when the three bodies in there were found, they had been perfectly preserved. Mm. Wonder if he was going in and banging them.
Yeah, you mean why? Because he was into necrophilia.
Yeah.
So maybe he was.
During a police search of 10 Rillington Place, a tobacco tin containing 4 locks of pubic hair was found.
Hmm. Do you have any locks of pubic hair around your office, Colonel?
I got a couple on the desk here right now. But now, it's possible that 2 of the locks belonged to the 2 women buried in the garden, but it's unknown. They could have also been mementos of prostitutes. He had,
I always ask for a memento from a memento.
Sometimes you just go up and grab them right by the hoo-ha to me, and then...
Oh, really?
You get a handful of pubic hairs, and you save one for later. I don't know what you do with it. Got to floss your teeth. You got some spinach in your teeth. It's like, hey, could you hand me a pube there? I got some spinach in my teeth. But anyway, the hunt for Christie began, Timmy, in earnest.
Yes, because now he's Amscrade. They're finding the dead bodies in the house.
Mm-hmm. And he was apprehended 10 days later.
Okay.
Having not run out of money. And he was, 10 days later.
Yeah, 3 he changed days his later, name, I think.
Christie telephoned the hunt for him began, and he was apprehended 10 days later. But here's what happened in the meantime.
Okay.
There was a nationwide hunt. 3 days after he disappeared, he telephoned News of the World and arranged to meet a reporter offering an exclusive interview. He said he would allow himself to be handed over to the police in exchange. The meeting never took place because Christie was frightened by the arrival of 2 policemen, as serial killers want to do, Timmy.
Yeah.
They are afraid of the police.
So it was kind of rude of him to break off that appointment.
Yeah, so he broke the appointment, and then he left the Roten House. He wandered all over London, and he'd sleep on park benches in the night, much like the devil does.
That's a little uncomfortable, I would think.
Well, ask the devil. She sleeps on park benches all the time.
Do you, Brandy?
Well, the search for him ended on the morning of March 31st when he was arrested near the embankment of Putney Bridge after being challenged about his identity by a policeman. He said he was John Waddington.
Hmm.
He was then asked to remove his hat.
He should know who he is.
He should. The policeman recognized him and said, "You are Christie, aren't you?" Christie confirmed that he was, in fact, the limp dick Christie.
Mm.
When arrested, he had
Reggie No Dick.
He had with him his identity card.
But not a hard-on.
Not a hard-on. Nor a condom. A ration book, his union card, an ambulance badge, with an old newspaper clipping about the remand of Timothy Evans.
Mm.
He made statements about 4 murders willingly, but had explanations for all.
Well, they're easily explained.
Yeah.
Those bodies in your floorboard.
His wife's had been a mercy killing.
Oh.
She had been choking to death.
Because she was married to a serial killer.
She
apparently couldn't get wood.
She had been choking to death anyway, so he just strangled her.
Wow.
And the 3 prostitutes.
You know what? She wasn't choking on him because he couldn't get wood. Settle down, Brandy.
You know, Brandy gets all worked up when you talk about a Woody.
She starts flipping us the bird.
Yeah. Now, the 3 prostitutes, they'd been aggressive in taking advantage of him, driving him to defend himself, Timmy.
Well, as naturally, he should.
So he had to kill him.
Of course.
His confessions were riddled with lies and evasions, as serial killers are prone to do. When confronted with the evidence of the garden corpses, he admitted to those murders, and at one point he also admitted to the murder of Beryl Evans. Although he said that was a mercy killing, too, and that was probably because she was named Beryl.
Or she was married to Timothy Evans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't the brightest guy in the world.
But that sumbitch could swing a dick, Timmy. He could swing a dick. So the next day he was charged with his wife's murder, and on April 15th, he had to file his taxes. He did, but he was also charged with murdering the 3 prostitutes. Now, while in prison, Christie confessed to murdering all of the women found in his cellar. As well as Burrow. He never admitted to killing Geraldine Evans, though. You ever notice they always, want to be indignant about one murder?
Well, especially because she was a child.
Motherfucker can murder 99 people.
But don't let him.
No, I did not. I did not kill her.
Yeah.
We have you on videotape. No, I did not kill her. Or they get real crazy serial killers. Oh, I murdered them all, but I didn't rape any of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, somehow that makes them okay.
Right.
No, I'm just a killer. Don't call me a rapist. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Serial killers are strange people.
Really are.
So, anyway, where was I at?
Yeah, well, I think he never... You wonder if his impotence made him angry.
I'm sure it made him angry. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? I'd be angry all the time.
Today you could get the vitamin V.
Yeah.
Or Cialis or something.
I mean, that's one of the things that makes me happy in this world, Timmy.
Viagra?
No, just having a, just, you
having
know.
A witty. I read once that, you know, at the end of his life, Groucho Marx had problems with impotence, and he said he would give $1 million to be able to get one hard on.
Damn.
Yeah.
I could have gone over and given him my heart. Given him mine. I would have given him mine for just $100.
I think he wanted his own.
Oh, well. His trial. The trial commenced on June 22nd, 1953, on the charge of murdering his wife. As his defense counsel decided to enter a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. All the murders were brought in to support the insanity plea.
Would be fucked up.
You can get off one by killing. No, what kind of sane man kills 45 people in each trial? You just claim insanity for each one.
Hey, I've got 8 people here.
Yeah, look at this. No normal person does this shit. Now, the prosecution counted.
Wouldn't it have been fucked up if he walked and Timothy Evans got hanged? Yeah.
Now, the prosecution countered that his concealment of the crimes after the fact showed an appreciation of the wrongfulness of his acts.
Yeah, he knew right from wrong, basically.
And the judge instructed the jury to consider only whether he was insane at the time that he killed his wife. Now, the trial only lasted 4 days, and he was found guilty after deliberating for only an hour and 20 minutes. Christie was sentenced to death and hanged just over two weeks later. Man, justice was swift back then. And it's 1953.
Mm-hmm.
At Pentonville Prison in London.
Well, apparently it's a little too swift for Timothy Evans.
Yeah. Like Timothy Evans, he was executed by famed hangman Albert Pierpoint.
We're going to do a podcast on him. He had an interesting career. He was an executioner in England.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most famous executioners.
Well, after he was pinioned for execution, Christie complained that his nose itched, and Pierpoint, the executioner, assured him, "It won't bother you for long."
He has a point.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about it.
Now, following this trial, an investigation was undertaken to test Timothy Evans' guilt. It was determined that after only 11 days of investigating Timmy,
mm-hmm.
that Evans had indeed killed his wife and daughter.
Yeah, they kind of did a rush job.
Yeah, they didn't want to look foolish.
Right.
Now, 2 years later, an attempt to was made to launch another investigation, and extensive evidence was produced to suggest that the first investigation had been rushed, skewed to support the official version, and avoid questioning the methods by which police had extracted Tim Evans' confession. Finally, an inquiry in 1965 concluded that Timothy Evans had strangled his wife, but not his daughter. He was granted a posthumous pardon in 1966 and was tried and hanged for killing his daughter. As he was tried and hanged for killing his daughter, not his wife.
Yeah, that don't make any sense.
No.
So they basically didn't have anything on him. And, I mean, you know, the guy, obviously, to Christie is the one that did it.
But the outcry over the Evans case contributed to the suspension and then abolition of capital punishment in the United Kingdom in 1965, Timmy.
Yep, they abolished the death penalty.
They did. They did away with it. They just said, no, we can't do it right. You can't have nothing nice around here, Timmy.
I wonder if Christie got a Woody after he was hanged.
Oh, you know he did. I wonder if he got a Woody walking up to that plank, the plank.
His nose was itching.
Well, they say that's a sign of sexual arousal when your nose itches. Yeah. If you're around a woman scratching her nose, she horny as hell.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, hit me with some shout-outs, Colonel.
Some shout-outs. Well, of course, who do we always start with, Timmy?
The lovely Tasha and her mother, Ophelia, out in California.
The lovely Ophelia. Jeff Girdley. Yes. Sam Hildebrand.
Brandy, she's finishing her lunch.
Linda Middleton. Missy Dean Horton?
You know, don't let lunch bother, you know, don't let lunch get in the way of the podcast.
No, the devil just gets up, walks away, and just starts eating. Yeah. That's nice of her. Don't let us bother
you. Don't let us bother
that devil. She ain't even got her headphones on or near the microphone, so we can say whatever we want.
She's really committed to this podcast.
The lovely Celine. Happy birthday, Dr. Jeff. I believe he had a birthday, didn't he?
Oh, okay. No, but didn't he have...
Denny McNamara had a birthday.
Denny McNamara, yes.
Okay, but whenever your birthday is, Dr. Jeff, happy birthday.
Denny McNamara, happy birthday, Denny.
Yeah. Teresa Slavin, Tommy Boomershine, Shonda and Larry, the Trowbridges, Colton, the wonderful Phyllis Munson. Thank you very much, Phyllis, by the way.
Yes, Phyllis, thank you very much.
Aaron Wentz, Donna Curran, Brian and Lisa Lawton, Olivia Meyer, new listener. The beautiful Katja.
The lovely Katja from Denmark.
Yeah. Kate with the C. McCarthy, Bridget Clavey, Brian Snellings. We just got Denny McNamara, William Truax, Amber Krupp. Amber's one of the most twisted some bitches.
She is funny.
You're ever going to meet your whole life.
She's funny.
Gina Spillane. Trixie, who we haven't seen in a while.
Stephanie Quick. She posted something the other day.
Oh, did she? Good. Mm-hmm. Sydney and Michael, of course. Hopefully everything works out with this longshoreman's thing, Michael. Laura O'Reilly, Gabby Lewis, John Cunningham, Tara.
Bond.
Jean Bond.
Lydia. Brandy McBride. Maggie Glover.
I want to say something about Maggie. I don't know if I mentioned this last time or not, but Maggie's father had a heart attack. And Maggie, we are so sorry to hear that, and we hope that he's doing better.
We do indeed hope that he had a heart attack, but he did not.
No. He had a heart attack. He's in recovery now.
Okay. I thought she lost her father. That would have been terrible. Good, and I'm glad to hear that he's in recovery. Jeff Appel, Christine Bourgeois.
I'm sorry.
Katie Moorhead, Mary Ray, Marvin, of course, Andy Volley, Cheryl Muscu, Keith Brewsty, Becky Mitchell, Steve Miller, Nicholas Starr, Molly Erickson, Natasha Davis, Neil Eagleton, Stewie Benton, and I told this girl on the page that she is not my friend.
Who?
Maja Zinoka.
I like Maja.
I like Maja, too. She's very funny. She got a hard name to mention, though.
I want to give a shout-out to KC Hood. I don't know if you got KC on your list or not. He gave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you, KC. We will definitely add you to the shout-out list.
You're on the shout-out list.
Thank you, KC.
Ali Nett, Christine Hauer, Leah Pangburn, Natalie Parsons, Lauren Feller, Todd Long, Diane, Student History Goes Bump.
Yes, wonderful podcast.
Allison Shields, Aaron Fowler, Carlene Madsen, Robin Sanchez, TJ, of course, TJ Youngblood, Thomas Tuohy, Dave Hill, John Gray, Don Gordon, Kirsten Davidson, Susan Angles, Little Emmy Waterfall, Christian Dormer, Daniel Fredrickson, Amber Anderson, Peter Fulmer, Ron Radsky, Kelsey Froh.
Hey, Kelsey.
Kelsey. Let's see here. We got the lovely Tyra Jenkins and Amy Payne. Jason Dykes. Sammy James. Jason Jason's on the list somewhere. He is all over 35 different government lists.
Jason's a funny guy. I love following him. He's always posting funny
stuff. Oh, yeah. Yo Handler, Eddie Rushing, Sunyana. Lindsay McMillan, Tara Chinchilla, Jennifer Hawkins, Kim Kazmersky, Nancy Jalapeno, Toby Deese, Andy Spraccio, Danielle Fredrickson, Mike Eisenhower, Rebecca Montanle, the lovely Annette Petre, Steph Glenn, Christina Hodgins, Christine Montana, or who, as we refer to as Lefty, Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, Cindy Hamilton, Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lubrano, Brittany Powell, Heather Hall, Heather Poole, Heather Marshall, Mark Hammermeister, Jeff Hopkins, of course, John Jahnke, Mike Tabor,
Joe Hopkins,
Lease, Joe Hopkins, Kevin Behan, Maddie Kinnon, Pavlova, Amelia, Michael Daniel, Jen Moya, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, haven't seen her in a while, Jeffrey Dolan, Marion Buchwald, Jennifer Miller, Susanna Sheldon, Genesis, Ramoni Howard, Skip Fayou, the lovely, lovely Callie Jones, Brandy D, Sandy Smizer, Dan Heyman, Norma DiMaggio, Karen Alden, Angie L, Amber Trevino, Carla Nelson White. You know, Carla is something else, Timmy.
Carla is my good friend. We've been friends for 30 years.
The girl looks like she's 30 years old.
Yeah, she does. She never ages.
She looks amazing. And really nice teeth.
Yeah, she's
really
beautiful.
Nice.
Carla's
teeth.
Beautiful.
Jessica Winchester, Anita Darden, Nancy Weller, Kirsten Andreasen, Valerie Murray, Tammy Ennis, Leah McAllister, Steph Poling, Laura Meredith, Kelly Cowell, Jennifer Svoboda, Lauren Meredith, Nina, of course, from...
Yeah, already gone.
She was gone.
She was nice enough to have me read a part on her podcast this past week. So if you get a chance...
Oh, she asked you, but not the Colonel.
Yeah, because I did a better job. Anyway, it's already gone podcast. She released a podcast this week on... Susan Smith. You remember Susan Smith?
Oh, that would have been a depressing one to do.
Well, but it's interesting. So
it is interesting.
Definitely check out Already Gone if you get a chance. Thank you, Nina, for asking me.
Sophia Panna. Yeah, I'm a little disturbed that you didn't ask me instead, but that's okay because I got my own appointments. And
You got your own team there, Colonel. Continue.
Yeah. Aaron Shipley, Jay Alford, Holly Woodard, Ali Nett, Deborah Chappelle, Danielle Jones, Brittany
Danielle
Martin,
Jones from...
From The Girls.
Between Us Girls.
They did a video the other day.
Yeah. I keep screwing up their name. It's Between Us Girls podcast. Yeah. Really funny. Check it out.
I like to get between those girls.
Continue, Colonel.
If that's a possibility, just let the Colonel know.
Don't.
Margot Donahue, Jamie Metcalf, Meg Vasil, Allison Schneider, Sarah Taylor, Amber Anderson, Rachel Hummel, Lauren Mayer, Molly Fontenot, Sean DeBoard, Melissa Montoya. Another softball player, Timmy.
Melissa's a Patreon supporter.
Yes.
Thank you, Melissa.
Stacy Gutierrez, Tim Hale, Donnie Young, Melanie Young, James Rion, Alan Dobbs, Ann Daza, Carol Nash, Elizabeth Prault, Mark Farman, Kimberly Kimes, Chris Swanson, Andrea Odell, lovely Irish girl, Christina Batchelor, another new listener, Rob Roy, George Huckler. Let's see where we're at here, Timmy. Oh, now we Team Colonel, Timmy, the Colonel crew.
Okay.
The lovely Angie Ball.
Very lovely.
Sarah Spaghetti, Jim Burdick, Karen Barnes. I called her, now last time I said Janice Fitzgerald. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. Janet Fitzgerald. Lovely, lovely. Janice is a busy woman she's back in school doing all kinds of stuff.
She's very talented.
Oh, we're thinking about you and you can do that. You can do it.
Yes.
What did the guy say? You can do it. So hang in there, Janet. Frances Doughton. Now, she's a true, beautiful Irish lass.
Yes. But she knows where Wells is.
No, I'm sure she does. Jessica Williams. That's another beauty.
From Chicago.
Amanda Bocci. Although Jennifer's originally not from Chicago. She's a transplant.
Okay.
I forget what she said was from. Amanda Bocci Ball. Shannon, we're still thinking about you and your little girl, Shannon Rossert. A devastating loss of her grandmother.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
And she's struggling with that, but you have your daughter and you two hold on to each other there. But we're thinking about you. Tiffany, of course, Tiffany Bell. Monica D'Agostino. Scotty, of course.
Scotty J.
Angela Cobes. The lovely Radhika Smith.
I don't think she's on your team.
Timmy, she has admitted it on the thing.
I'm going to have to ask her.
We'll ask her flat out on the page. Another lovely new Irish lass we have on did his assigned herself to team Colonel Rachel Marie Flynn.
Okay. You give a shout out to Annette Petre.
Yeah, I got her.
Okay.
Of course, Jennifer Siemens, who is Jennifer another declared.
And her mother, Linda?
No, we got to split them up because Linda is Team Devil. All right. She cannot be in with.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Jen Wicks, of course. Jen Wicks from Nashville. The New Yorker from Nashville. Lovely Liz Keating. Of course, a lovely, beautiful.
I really don't think you've got that many people and talented, on your team.
Timmy, I'm telling you, they self-declare.
Okay.
Declare this.
All right.
And you ask this girl, right? She's my mascot, Timmy.
A lovely Fallon.
One of the prettiest girls you're ever going to see in your life. Lovely Fallon. And, of course, I got the three big guns, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Nicola.
Yes, Nicola Reed.
My beautiful counselor from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
She's drunk all the time, but she's a good lawyer.
Sorry.
And Charlie and Allie.
Yes.
Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast.
We do not have a blood feud.
We do have a blood feud, but it's only going to, you know what? We decided to call truce until Crime Con.
Okay.
And it's going down to Crime Con.
All right.
And we will hopefully see Allie and Charlie at Crime Con. That's really the only reason
we're looking
I'm going
forward
is
to meeting some of these people. Allie and Charlie, and a lot of our listeners, hopefully.
You know what? It's funny.
It's June in Indianapolis this year.
And for me, you know, the thing I like about a lot of our listeners, but especially Allie and Charlie, is that, you know, because they have these young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to, you know, most of their posts tend to, on their private pages, tend to be about their kids and about their children. And they have some adorable kids, too.
Yes, they do.
And it's just fun because I think back to when my kids were like
that age.
You know, that age. Although Charlie, you know, she's got them across the spectrum. She's got, you know, I think Charlie's got kids 18 years old.
No, I don't know if they're at all.
Wide range.
They're wider range.
Yeah, she's got a wider range. Yeah. And Allie's just more, getting used to hers doing
the. More younger children.
Yeah. Allie just had a.
They're all beautiful kids.
Wonderful. And Terry Helmsley, if I didn't get her. But
yeah, Terry's fun.
And Kimberly Cameron.
Of course.
Hope I didn't miss her. But, yeah, it's fun. You know, the funnest thing for me about doing this podcast, Timmy, is all these goofy-ass people you meet on the page.
Yeah, we got a lot of great folks on our page. It's History Dweebs, the podcast. So it's a podcast group, or it's a Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. So please join us. And you got two more, Colonel.
Oh, of course. Lady Beverly, who is not doing as well. She's not, you know, she's just feeling a little under the weather. But she has Sir Sully the Brave taking care of her.
Man, that's good.
And lovely, the wonderful, the one and only, really the Dean Martin of podcasting, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Dottie Scott.
Okay. My mom.
Not Dean Martin. She's a Frank Sinatra, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
Dottie's just cool as hell.
She is a wonderful mother. And you left out Elise?
No, I didn't leave out Elise. I got her.
All right. We've got some new listeners. I don't know if you got everyone or not, but Richard Roy, John Cunningham, thank you for listening.
I got Rob Roy. I'm sorry.
Richard Roy. But anyway,
Richard Roy, okay.
If we didn't give you a shout-out, you would like a shout-out, please let us know. Join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group, and we will make sure to include you in future shout-outs. You can find us on Facebook, either at History Dweebs, the podcast. That's the group where we interact with all of our listeners. Or you can find us on History Dweebs, the Facebook page, where we just post some history-related stuff.
Oh, you know who I forgot, Timmy?
Who?
More important, a very important one, because I forgot to move her over to Team Colonel, and it's Jamie Tarantino.
Yes, the lovely
Jamie T.
Tarantino. Yes, very talented Jamie Tarantino. So join us on Facebook on our Facebook group page, History Dweebs, the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at History Dweebs 1. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please take a minute, subscribe, and leave us a review. That's how people find us. KC left us a 5-star review. Thank you, KC Hood. We appreciate it very much. And Colonel, any final words while we get out of here? Brandy's enjoying her lunch.
Yeah, we'll let Brandy go. You don't want to get between her and her lunch.
She just flipped us the bird.
This was some good came out of this. Personally, it depends on how you feel. I could kill somebody for harming people in my family, but in theory, I'm against capital punishment because it goes wrong so many times. And this was a good example of it, and it's good that that came out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I'm generally opposed to it as well because I just don't think the state should have the right to take a life. But when, you know, some of these stories we cover, you can certainly,
it reminds me of True Detective. I love that show, the first season where he just walks out and shoots a guy in the side of the head and he's done with him. And, you know, so many people just have that coming. They deserve it. So many of these people we cover. But the problem becomes, maybe one of them didn't do it.
Yeah. And like in this case with Timothy Evans.
Yeah. So I. And, you know, the other thing is that once you put somebody in prison without, you know, no chance of parole or anything else, you ain't got all these appeals you're paying for.
Right.
You know?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of back and forth.
As a colonel and a member of the Church of the Latter-day Colonels,
You believe in forgiveness.
You hope that as somebody is in that cell, did they find Jesus, Timmy?
Right.
And that they repent for their sins and put themselves on the correct path.
She's never done that to me. You would give them Colonel Justice.
Then we would give them Colonel Justice. You got a choice. You repent or you get the Colonel Justice.
All right. Let's get out of here. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.